The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Maddie Jackson Seligman, daughter of country music legend Alan Jackson, lost her husband from a traumatic brain injury 3 weeks before their first anniversary.
And it took that moment to really be honest about how angry I was that the miracle I asked for didn't happen and what God's hand was in that. But where it eventually left me was this sweet little just like whisper reminder from the Holy Spirit that was like, you're mine.
You know, we're so blessed. We just have wonderful people. If we don't, we won't ever bring anybody that won't just pour God's love and blessings out all over you. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I, we like country music, and we sure like praise music. You know, some of it gets sometimes a little crazy for Baptists that are finally learning. You don't have to do your hands like that. You can do them like this. You know, you can actually fall on your face and worship God as much as you can, shouting. So, you know, when we say we like country music, we really mean it. And they're kind of stretching us out of those boundaries a little bit. It kind of disturbs us. But we've known a lot of country western singers and had a lot of them on here. Well, Alan Jackson happens to be one of our favorites, and we just told his daughter that Let There Be Christmas is one of the greatest ones. We keep hearing about it. I thought he did it recently. She said, oh, he did it a long time ago. Well, his daughter Maddie is here, and she's beautiful. And Maddie, we're really glad to have you.
Oh, thank you all for having me. I've learned so much from you in 5 minutes of just talking with you. I feel like I should be interviewing you too.
Well, you know what? Does your dad tell you how pretty you are?
He has. He
always
has.
Has he been telling you since he's a
yes.
little girl?
Listen, he's the youngest of five. He's got four sisters and three daughters, and he builds us up, and he makes us feel so loved.
Isn't that important to a little girl to feel pretty?
Yes.
Okay. You met somebody you really, really love. How old were you when you met the dream?
Ben and I met, we were 25, so it was shortly after college, though he's a Tennessee boy as well. But yeah, we were both Tennessee grads and met when we were 25, shortly after college. He was in law school. And just one of the most joy-filled, just charismatic, lovable men I've ever known. I mean, lovable people I've ever known. And I just, even in our early days of dating, but I say it even more now when I'm sharing our story with people, is that he truly had, I think, this childlike faith that Jesus taught about. Not that it was simple, but that it was pure and it was trusting. And that was such a draw to do life with him. And so we had a very kind of fast romance and dated for a year and were engaged for a year and married just shy of a year before he suffered a freak brain trauma and ended up passing away 3 weeks before our first anniversary.
But I mean, you talk about lemons on Friday. Did the Friday have anything to do with the day?
Truthfully, no. I don't know that anyone's ever asked me that.
Well, the lemons had a whole lot to do with the reason for the whole book.
Yes. So the whole metaphor is when I, after Ben passed, and, you know, I had truly never faced anything tragic. I mean, we had both just turned 28 years old, and, you know, obviously my family has been abundantly blessed in every way throughout our life and have just kind of lived a pretty easy life. And so when this happened, I had no idea how to deal with things like, you know, despair really and hopelessness and depression and all the things that happen when a tragedy strikes, especially so suddenly. And so, you know, I've always loved writing. Obviously, Dad's a songwriter. Mm-hmm. My mom had a New York Times bestseller many years ago. And so I just journaled to try to process, you know, with myself what I was feeling, with God, what my fears and questions were.
Did you start that pretty quick after the...
It was pretty quick. I think it was probably a few months. And then I just realized that I needed some place that was an outlet just for me and the Lord, and was in counseling and obviously had a wonderful support system as well. But in that, which was the foundation of everything that's in this book, after probably a year or so of just grieving and journaling with no agenda or plan, I sort of felt the Holy Spirit say, like, let's see what this story can do for other people, and started to go back through those journals. And for some reason, that was something that, you know, he put in my heart, was this idea of, you know, the old adage, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade. And I remember writing in one of those very early journals, like, that's impossible with this. Like, there's nothing I can do to make good come from this. And if any good's going to come from this, then it has to be in God's hands. That's my only hope. And so that's where the lemon part kind of came from. And then I remember feeling like, how do I hold on to all of these beautiful promises that Jesus gives about restoration and redemption and peace and hope that I know are true, but that don't feel true right now? And thinking, this had to be what the disciples felt on Crucifixion Friday. And they didn't know Sunday was coming like we all know now. And so we call it Good Friday. But I remember thinking, there's no way they felt good about this. And so that's sort of both sides of where that came from, is how do we live in a life full of lemons that we can't make sweet, and also in a life that feels more like Crucifixion Friday than it does Resurrection Sunday often, and how do we navigate that?
You know, we lost a daughter at 40, mother of three teenagers. She was our miracle baby.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here listening to your story, and even though it was your husband that you lost, we lost a daughter, so the heartache is still there on each situation. And just like you, I started journaling immediately. And I still, to this day, it's been over 9 years. But there's something that God has done so tremendously in my life. It's been part of the healing, doing the journaling, and just writing down what was really being expressed in my heart when I had no words really to speak it, but I could write it down. Right. And so that, I think for some people, that is just really important to be able to feel like you can just sit down when everything looks wrong.
Right.
And you say, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to have joy.
Right.
I'm supposed to express that joy. Well, at that moment, or even 9 years later, there are moments in my life where I don't feel very joyful.
Right.
And I don't know, I still weep, you know. And so that doesn't necessarily go away, but there is something about that walk with Him, because He never leaves us nor forsakes us. When we feel like we're away from Him, He's not away from us.
Yes, that's so true.
He's ready to wipe our tears and to pick us up every time we fall down. So you're on a journey that you didn't ask for.
Right.
But allow God to always, and it seems like you are, to just say, God, what do you have for me?
Right.
To be a blessing to those that are out there that are walking maybe the similar journey that I am.
I love to hear you say that, too, because about, you know, some people, I would want them to hear me say, you don't have to be a writer or love writing. This is about working things out with God. And truly, I remember when we started working with a publisher and just being so prayerful over what this would mean, and thinking that if all this is a record of God's goodness in the middle of a really awful story for me and for our family, then that is more than enough.
Yeah.
And if it gets published, then that's great.
Yeah.
But I can look back at this and see God being kind to me in the hardest days of my life, and I know you understand that.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things you've touched on, and I want to ask you to make two or three points, plus what you hope the book does, but you talked about the difficulty of looking at the marriage and knowing I'm going to be a mother and all of a sudden I'm a widow. How did you handle that?
Not well on a lot of days. Honestly, that, you know, we were, as I said, 28 and had only been married a year. But even then, you know, you start to plan and forecast your life together. And so just being in that season of life and being at that age, I was surrounded by people who were either constantly getting married or constantly starting families, and it just is this inevitable continual reminder of what you've lost and what, you know, I haven't gotten to have yet. I say yet because I still claim and believe God has that for me, but it was really difficult. And I think what I am grateful for is incredibly grace-filled, generous friends who walk that with me and were able to hear, hey, I'm going to be there, but I might need to step out, and that's going to be really hard for me. And I love you, and I will love your child, but my heart's broken right now, and we got to figure out what this balance is together. But I mean, ultimately, I tell of a moment in the book, which really was a singular, profound moment of studying the book of Job with some girls that I've done a Bible study with forever. And of course, we know the story, but I don't know that I had ever read that opening first chapter, first paragraph of Job. And I was going through it, and all I could hear when I was reading the conversation between God and Satan basically telling him, you know, he's only faithful because he's had an easy life. And God essentially saying, okay, you have free reign, just don't take his life. And being so angry, thinking, is that what happened to me? Like, was that the conversation you had about my husband and my marriage? And why would that have to be? Why would you allow that? And it took that moment to really be honest about how angry I was that the miracle I asked for didn't happen and what God's hand was in that. But where it eventually left me was this sweet little just like whisper reminder from the Holy Spirit that was like, you're mine. Above all else, you are my daughter. You are my beloved. You are my chosen. And for the rest of your life, you have to keep that above every other label and every other role and every other blessing that I'm gonna give you. And it really became more of this understanding of identity in Christ over the identity in all the other things that are going to be a part of my life. And it didn't fix that pain and that hurt in my heart immediately as people kept, you know, starting their families. But it kind of changed my perspective of, you know, my value and my worth and what makes my life rich and full of joy even now is because I'm yours. And everything else is a beautiful addition to celebrate. Amen.
Every person watching us right now either has a family member or a friend that's going through very serious weight and wondering why. We never get a satisfactory why in this lifetime. We have to ask God, what do you want to do with this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, we preached effectively that God wants to set us free. And I've been really blessed to see people set free. The shackles of the enemy broken. People in bondage set free. But after we lost our daughter, man, I'm telling you what, she's the most perfect. God spoke to me when I was talking to her daughter with her first little granddaughter from her daughter. And she now has four. Her daughter in heaven has four grandchildren. And I said, it's hard to believe that mom wouldn't be just as happy right here as she is in heaven.
Mm.
And the little daughter, little granddaughter for us said, Papa, mom's really happy. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, for your daughter, it'll be close. Because for 40 years, she brought the kingdom of heaven and my will on earth, as it is in heaven. That's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I glance at some titles here. If you'd say, if you get this, because there's a lot of broken hearts, and you're asking why, what does God want to do with it? What he said to me when I was looking at that broken heart, he said, look at the first phrase in Isaiah that I quoted about setting the captives free and the kingdom of heaven being at hand. First line, I came to bind up the brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty strong assignment. Mm-hmm. A lot of brokenhearted people.
Yeah.
That's why you wrote this.
It is.
You want to show them they can make lemons out of lemonade.
Absolutely.
And you can make lemonade out of lemons.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Not hard to make lemons. You make lemonade out of those. But you've got, I want you to give us two or three things, because you want this to comfort the brokenhearted,
mm-hmm.
and know where the source of comfort comes from.
Yes.
And I think you want them to share that comfort with others.
Certainly.
Because the Holy Spirit looks better dressed up in somebody.
I love that.
Right? Isn't that right?
That's good.
Yeah, we know he's there.
So good.
It's so nice when he's, somebody can actually give you a shoulder,
right.
Lean on. And you can, here's what I say to our viewers, you can become a shoulder for someone, Lean on.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, it's just adjusting my vision. Where's our hope? Head up, hands off, how do I accept the loss? God nods. And tree stands, where's God? First steps, will I always hurt this much? What do you want people when they read this, when they get through reading, what do you pray has happened to them?
It's kind of a twofold thing, but my whole prayer for this is, and it took me a while to learn this balance, but my whole prayer is that this will offer people permission to hurt as deeply as they need to hurt. Because I think I've experienced a tendency, even with very faithful people, to use that faith as a reason to not have to get in the depths of their pain. And we watch Jesus Christ, right? You quoted Isaiah, he's a man of many sorrows, right? Grieved for us. And so I think that I want them to hear me say, feel the depth of your pain and don't be afraid to really work mm-hmm. through that hurt. Don't try to just push it aside, but also with the hurt, hold in the other hand the hope that is Christ and the redemption that he works, not just eternally, but as you all have experienced too, in our healing on this earth. He's an active part of that, and that the way that we break the isolation of tragedy or heartbreak or struggle is to be honest about it in community and with God, with ourselves, and let there be a balance between the honesty of your hurt and the honesty of the hope that God offers. And that's a day-to-day thing. Early on, it's a moment-by-moment thing, and it's just inviting God constantly into that pain and saying, give me the courage to feel this, but also give me the faith to trust you and not let the pain have the last word.
Amen. I want to ask you if we could just pray with you and for you and for all of you. Get the book. It's in the bookstores. It's online. I pray you'll get it. Matter of fact, today, as we're giving away some gifts, which includes a book, a devotion book. It actually includes a Bible. Beautiful. But to go with the devotions. But we'll send you this if you'll just help us heal broken hearts of those who are being trafficked, sexually trafficked, little children, many of them. And our overseers just told us that just in the last month, we set 1,000 girls free, many of them very young. So when say we, that's you. I want to pray for you, if you just let me, Maddie, pray for you. Father, Maddie's beautiful. Her life's not by any means finished. She's making a whole lot more than lemonade. I want you to fulfill her dreams. But I want her to discover the joy of fulfilling your dream. You have dreams. And we're the only family, your family, that can fulfill your desires. I pray she'll inspire people to do that. And we'll see that as she loses her life in your dreams, in your kingdom purpose, she will find fulfillment of every need and desire of her heart by fulfilling your dream, your kingdom purpose in her life. I pray that you will let her become a mother with a spouse that will love her the way Ben loved her, the way Ben is in many ways interceding with you, Father, and with you, Jesus, at his right hand, the best for Maddie. In every way, and she trusts you. She doesn't have you on a timetable. You hold every part of her life in your hands, and that's what she wants. She doesn't want any other way. She just wants to inspire people to put their lives in your hands, your healing hands, your comforting hands. And we just ask you to bless her. Thank you for Mom and Dad. I'm so glad Alan loved her the way a little girl wants to be loved, and a girl that hurts, and Mom. And family, in Jesus' name. Well, you know, we can all be family, his family. We can be Amen. The family of the perfect Father.
Amen.
And I know that's what you want to be. It's what you want to be. I want you to listen to Sheila Walsh. Sheila Walsh has marched into hell now with Life Outreach, I guess almost for the last 10 years, but many years now. Well, she's as brave as I've ever seen. Listen to Sheila. She knows what she's talking about. And she said, James, never in all of my life, all of my journey, have I seen such powerful demonstrations of love and compassion and transforming power like I've seen in the missionaries' lives that Life supports. The miracles. Listen to Sheila.
God's Word tells us that Jesus cares for and values little children, while statistics tell us that human traffickers could not care less for them. The only value to them is the money they can make for the traffickers who exploit them for sex and forced labor.
Such was the case of two little girls, Abini and Belly, who were 5 and 7 years old when our mission partners in South Asia rescued them. Abini was living in the brothels with her mother, who was a sex worker. Her pimp was allowed to molest little Abini. Belly was found in a remote village with a madam who was selling her off to an old man who was already abusing and using her for himself. His next step would have been to sell her off to the local brothels in a major city. The good news is Life Outreach, along with our mission partners, are rescuing trafficked children through education in their villages, SWAT team raids literally knocking down doors to brothels, and one-on-one ministry outreach efforts. Both girls are now loved, safe, and cared for in our Life Center, getting an education, learning about the Lord, praying and singing as little children should be doing.
Stories like these would not have been possible without the help of our viewers. But there are still thousands of children around the world crying out for someone to rescue them. At Life Outreach, we have partnered with missionaries on the ground to reach, to rescue, to restore these children of all ages caught in the grip of human trafficking. The only way we can continue this work is with your help. And the time to act, it's now.
It is, right now. Some of you have a broken heart. They have a broken life. Their future's death without a miracle. You're the miracle. You really are. That's not wishful thinking, Betty. It's reality. You see that incredible place, Destiny House? The people that's built that, we built it, you built it. They were the biggest power providers for Hollywood, the generators, so they could do lighting everywhere. The lady had a 7-carat diamond ring. They were rolling. They watched us on television. They saw missions. They got a mission heart. They rented houses to rescue kids. They didn't tell us. We found them. And we saw what they were doing. We said, we're going to fulfill your dream. We're going to start building whatever you want to build. We mean you. We started building. That's the most fabulous place you will ever see. Many of the kids that you rescued are now teachers, professors in college, and leaders in that wicked sex capital of the world, transformed by the power of love through those, out, just like that Hollywood couple, they've never gone back to Hollywood. God sent them. You keep them there. You put the oil in the lanterns. Please, Betty, I don't know. We don't do anything. It's not what's on God's heart, and we do it well because you love well, not just the missionaries, not just that couple that left Hollywood and their comfort to give comfort to the most broken people perhaps on the planet, but you make it happen. You built that place and many more in many different countries. Please, I want you to go get a bank card. I want you to make the greatest gift perhaps you've ever made. It's life. It takes $128, Betty, to reach one of those trafficked. Get them out. Sometimes we have to break in. But we head many of them off when we see them out in the public place, totally abandoned. We find out they've been abandoned. Many of them are left by a parent. Many of them are sold for a radio or a TV or $10, literally. I mean, we went and we saw it. But when we see that happening, we can cut them off sometimes because our rescue workers are more outnumbered than the guy that just bought them for $10. And we get them there instead of them taking them into prison, bondage. Would you right now get a check, make it to Life, because that's what you're giving. Get your bank card, call that number, or go online. $128 is what it costs to reach, literally rescue, and then restore. We have a matching gift for what you give today will be doubled. It's a matching gift of $320,000. Where did that come from? People like you said, we want to challenge people. We so believe in this, we challenge you. So would you please, if you can give 128, you didn't rescue one, you rescued two. I ask people, rescue $10, $1,280. A lot of our viewers can. Well, now it's not 10, it's 20 that you rescue. Whatever you can do, please do it. We've got some gifts to send you to say thank you and to bless you. Would you please, right now, call that number. Many people may be calling for prayer, but you get through. You become an answer to prayer. You become someone's miracle. Please. Or you can go online or you can put it in the mail, but call us and tell us what you're giving. It will be doubled.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators, forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you the Prayers for Life Journal, the perfect book to write down your prayers as you reflect on your relationship with Christ. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll also receive the NIV Thin Line Bible, along with 365 Days of Prayer for Life, a beautiful devotional filled with scriptures and key thoughts for each day of the year. Keep all three resources close by for your daily prayer time as you meditate on God's Word. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I feel like we're so blessed to be here with you and with our guest. Wow. A year? Dream gone? You ever lost a dream? Broken heart? I tell you what, you just reach out and touch some of these we're trying to help. Just support the outreach. And you said, would you send me Maddie's book, please? I've been challenged. Maddie, we're glad you came.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
Our prayers are with you, and you know that.
I do.
Now, you let us know how to come.
I will.
In the next year.
I'll keep you up to date.
And when you're going to be a mama, call us.
I will. You throw me a baby shower?
I'll encourage one. I'll send a gift. God bless all of you. You're such a treasure to God. And such a blessing to so many that never thought anybody would even notice them. The least of these. Jesus said, that's the sheep. If you ever wonder, that's the sheep. God bless y'all.
Just saying, I can't live this way. I can't live this way.
Sean and Jill Johnson began attacking anxiety. Next week, Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.